Hot Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, you'll be well aware that the South African Cabinet approving the Renewable Energy Master Plan. It's a strategic initiative, as I understand it, aimed at leveraging the growing demand for renewable energy and storage technology, all to promote more industrialization and localization. But many questions arising from this particular initiative, and in that respect, I'm going to talk to the Deputy Energy Minister, Samantha Graham-Maree. Deputy Minister, a very warm welcome to you, and let's dive straight into this. Is it South Africa's energy silver bullet? This country struggles with energy shortage. Is this the breakthrough that we've been waiting for?
Jeremy, thank you very much for having me, and good afternoon to everybody. SARM is not that. SARM is an industrialization plan, and it's about creating an industry around the renewable energy market. So we're going to still have to create demand, and that will need to be done through Eskom and through IPPs and through various other role players. Our job with respect to SARM is to provide the support in terms of consumables, in terms of innovation, in terms of the things that can feed into the renewable energy market so that we can stop importing and start producing. In other words, creating jobs, growing our economy, and creating a renewable energy ecosystem in the country that can ultimately feed into the rest of Africa. That's what the plan is all about.
And the challenge, I would imagine, is maintaining and even creating that demand at the get-go. What's the thinking around that?
No, absolutely. And it's one of the things that we have found that has stalled the sort of revolution that we were expecting in terms of renewable energy industrialization. So we need to, obviously, as a country, improve the onboarding of wind projects. I mean, those have stalled for the last few years, and create a predictable pipeline of projects. And that'll have to be done both through the government and through private sector. We're looking at how we can bring municipalities online. And then obviously with the Mission 300, the idea of getting energy access to 300 million people in Africa, we're hoping that we can leverage off that as well so that we can create a feed into that pipeline as well. But definitely we're going to have all role players involved if we're going to ensure that we have a solid, predictable pipeline of projects that will allow for the investment into the industrialization.
Part of the problem, of course, and you will concede, and the reason why this process in many respects has stalled, is that there has been lagging of feet by government and onerous red tape requirement.
No, absolutely. And one of the things we did when we started in this office very early on was to meet with a lot of the role players to find out what the blockages were in terms of, you know, regulatory requirements that we could facilitate. So we've had some conversations around that. We're trying to make sure that we can get some of the other departments to assist us with regulations that they've got in place that stall projects. But also, obviously, you know, the big problem is the transmission grid. That has been a huge factor that has impacted heavily on wind in particular, because the wind is in areas that the grid capacity is low. So the minister's gone out in the last week to look at how we can bring in private investment into transmission. So we are pushing forward on that as well to create the capacity for those projects to come online.
I'm not questioning your good intentions, but given what has happened in the past, why should we believe you now?
I think you're questioning my good intentions, Jeremy. No, I think there's a renewed interest and a renewed focus. I think we've felt what it's like to be 300 days without load shedding. The impact of the little bits of load shedding that we've had this year have really cast a bad light on us. And we are very, very motivated. I think the difference as well is with the GNU in play, there's been a renewed interest in working with private sector, which has not been there in the past. I think we're looking more at partnerships. We've got a very good relationship with the International Partners Group that are funding, putting a lot of funding towards the just energy transition. We're very much focused on the just energy transition, and that's obviously going to also impact heavily on the renewable energy sector. So there's a completely different focus. And I think also with our department becoming a department today, the fact that we now have things like Eskom and the Department of Energy all in one space is going to make it a lot easier for us to manage and coordinate the energy space going forward.
You talk about fixing the transmission grid. In that respect, what kind of commitment or signal are you getting from Eskom, given again that there have been huge problems in the past?
Look, Eskom is very constrained, and that's been the problem. I mean, you know, they set themselves big targets, 800 kilometers in the last year, and I think they did about 72. A lot of that has got to do with funds. We've just had our meeting now with Eskom with respect to municipal debt. So Eskom are financially constrained, and this is why we're looking to the private sector to come on board and do investments. So what we're rolling out is a pilot project in terms of how independent transmission projects can be brought online so that we can use the power of private sector to build the transmission that Eskom is unable to do.
And if the private sector remains skeptical, then you're in trouble.
Absolutely, but I can't see that happening. This model that we're looking at has been rolled out in other countries and they've had huge success with it. There's a major, major appetite for transmission, and a lot of the independent power producers know that without transmission they can't come online. So we certainly feel that there's a big appetite for a rebuild in the transmission. You know, in the last few years there's been 98% investment in generation and 2% investment in transmission. So we definitely feel that transmission is going to be the new industry that's going to grow rapidly in the energy space.
Minister, I think the master plan has been described as a living document. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but if that's the case, how is it going to stay up to date with new technology and market shift, which we all know moves very, very quickly?
No, absolutely. So already it's taken 5 years to get it to this point, and it focuses currently on solar, wind and battery storage. But obviously within those 5 years, there's been immense growth in other areas in the green space, such as green hydrogen. Now we see green hydrogen not only in itself as a fuel source, but also as a wonderful vector for increasing renewable energy demand. So green hydrogen hasn't been factored into CERM at this stage. And that's why it's a living document, because we now will look at incorporating things like green hydrogen. We want to focus a lot more on things like pump storage. So there are a lot of new technologies that are coming on board, and that will form part of the project management unit's KPIs, is to make sure that this document continues to be updated and that we stay abreast of the technological developments.
Just a final one. Are you able to break down the expected costs of the master plan?
No. So I think it's important to realize that our role in the master plan will be in facilitating the project management unit, which we will be establishing within the first 3 months of now. In the next 3 months, we should have our project management unit fully established, and then we will add on to that as we facilitate. So the role of the CERM is to coordinate and facilitate the renewable energy industrialization. The cost itself will be borne by whoever is involved. So where companies come online and create training facilities, that cost will not be a government cost per se, but will be funded by whoever's on board. So our job will really, the cost for the PMU will be borne by government and any of the other role players. And from there, we will facilitate projects and make sure that projects that are sort of shovel ready find funding. So it will be more of a coordinating role than an actual implementation of specific projects.
Thank you very much indeed. That's the Deputy Energy Minister, Samantha Graham-Marais. Appreciate your time.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.